A spoonful of sugar helps the subprime go down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. This morning, the Swiss bank UBS had some good news and some bad. Bad news first. $10 billion in write-downs from bad investments in subprime mortgages. The biggest such loss by a European bank. Now the good news. UBS is getting $11.5 billion in emergency cash. The government of Singapore and an unnamed Mideast investor are ponying up the funds to help UBS. Well, the news on UBS helped to weaken Asian stocks overnight. Across Europe, though, some deals are lifting shares. In France this morning, the world's largest cement maker is making a $13 billion purchase in the Mideast. And in Spain, the power company Iberdrola announced an IPO of its clean energy unit. For Wall Street today, it'll be about tomorrow's Fed meeting. The question is, will the Fed cut rates by a quarter point or a half? The trial of Alberto Fujimori begins today. He was elected president of Peru in 1990 and controlled the country for a decade. Now he's fighting charges of murder, kidnapping, and corruption. Opponents say Fujimori was a thug. For others, he's the man who saved Peru from economic collapse. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Alberto Fujimori inherited an economy in tatters.
You had hyperinflation. It was a very, very bad situation.
That's Bertrand Delgado, an economist at IDEA Global. From 1990 to 2000, Fujimori privatized state companies, liberalized trade, and lowered barriers to foreign investment. That planted the seeds for economic expansion. Peru has grown by about 6% a year for the past 6 years. Michael Shifters with the Inter-American Dialogue.
He moved in a much too authoritarian direction that has had tremendous costs for Peru. But on the economic front, I think one has to recognize he opened the economy, and I think today Peru is still reaping the benefits.
The nation's expected to grow by more than 7% this year. Still, Fujimori left Peru with a poverty rate above 50%, and thousands of innocent peasants were killed during a 20-year battle with insurgents. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
This week, the Senate is expected to vote on an energy bill. It's likely to be an amended version of the one passed by the House last week. There's support for higher fuel economy standards, but little agreement on another energy-saving idea, requiring utilities to generate a chunk of power from renewable sources. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Southeastern lawmakers, major utilities, and the White House are balking at a provision requiring public utilities to generate 15% of their electricity from renewable energy sources. They argue its one-size-fits-all approach punishes states that lack sufficient renewable energy supplies, driving up prices for consumers. But Ralph Cavana with the Natural Resources Defense Council says gutting the proposal would hurt consumers even more.
Essentially, what this sets up is a national competition to produce the cheapest possible renewable energy and get it to customers all across the country. That's in the national interest. And I believe strongly that over time that will drive electric bills down, not up.
Cavana says creating a national market for renewable energy would ensure that even the measure's staunchest critics could import ample supplies. And if local production is the goal, he says the region has more than enough biomass to generate its own renewable electricity. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at KAUFFMAN.org.
Today, Argentina inaugurates its first female president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. And in another first, she will succeed a president named Kirchner. That would be her husband, Nestor. He rescued Argentina from an economic train wreck. Her job will be to keep it from falling off the rails again. Rachel Hopkin reports from Buenos Aires.
It's a busy morning at one of Buenos Aires' biggest malls. Crowds of shoppers are out enjoying the benefits of 5 years of economic growth. If Mrs. Kirchner wants to sustain that, she'll have to overcome some big challenges, says economist Miguel Kegel.
One is that inflation is on the rise. Second, energy is a problem. It's going to be a constraint to growth in the future. And third, the Institute of Statistics in Argentina, which is not working properly.
That's putting it mildly. For months, the Institute has been accused of manipulating Argentina's inflation rate. Officially, it's 8%, but virtually everyone thinks it's closer to 20%. And so far, Kirchner appears to be continuing the charade. Economist Alan Sibbles.
She has said that their inflation index is fine when nobody believes that. So the fact that she's saying that everything is okay there makes one wonder what her policy will be vis-a-vis that in the future.
That's not the only big question about her future. Cristina is the wife of the outgoing president, so Argentines are wondering whether Mr. Kirchner will stay in the back seat or will his hand be steering the wheel.
On the economic area, she doesn't really have a strong agenda. So I think initially, at least, her husband will have a big say, but she has a very strong personality and probably over time she will start to be on the driver's seat.
If she wants Argentina to be a global player, Kirchner needs to settle up with the Paris Club, the countries who helped bail Argentina out back in 2001. Miguel Kegel.
Cristina Kirchner will like to reach an agreement with the Paris Club. It's part of inserting back Argentina with the civilized world.
But to do that, Kirchner must work with the International Monetary Fund, and Argentina blames the IMF for many of its past problems. Today, though, IMF head Dominique Strauss-Kahn will be a guest at the new president's inauguration. In Buenos Aires, I'm Rachel Hopkin for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.